Now for agribusiness news, markets, and weather from Studio C, this is Agriculture Today.
You know, every producer is very unique in how they're trying to pencil out what they're going to do for this next year, whether that be being more strategic in how they apply some of their inputs, how they work their ground from a more strategic look at an agronomic standpoint, and where they can hedge, if you will, on the input side to limit some of their exposure and cost if possible.
Cody Besant, Plains Cotton Growers, says it might be interesting to pencil out this year with higher input cost.
And you know, certainly the lending community is looking at this and being very astute from a refinancing standpoint, as well as we are too. But that is something that everybody is taking very seriously as these challenges come about going into a new season.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
You know, Warren Buffett has a saying that says, you don't realize that if the tide goes out, who's going to come in naked? And I think what we're seeing is a lot of nakedness in the way the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach have been operated for a very long time.
Well, that's an interesting way to look at it. Jane Wells is with CNBC just talking about some of the problems on the West Coast. Well, last year, the ocean freight industry saw record-breaking prices, port congestions, container shortages, and more. That's according to Flexport, a freight forwarding and customs brokerage company. Supply chain disruptions experienced over the past 18 months, though, expected to improve later this year. But don't hold your breath, as some shipping companies are already shutting down in preparation for the Chinese New Year, which begins February 1. According to Business Insider, disruption comes a full 12 days earlier than in 2021. And as a result, major global shippers have already halted new container bookings to smaller ports in South China. So the underlying issue is demand has outstripped infrastructure industry-wide. Ships aren't big enough. Ports aren't big enough. There's not enough equipment of all kinds. The constraints of the physical world are yoking logistics' best attempts at doing more faster, says Michael Backbowl, Flexport's head of compliance as a service. The result, a giant traffic jam that he says it's nobody's fault, but everybody's problem, as the containers just can't move fast enough. However, ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach now both adding fees in addition to demurrage fees on any container left at the port for more than 8 days. $100 for day one. It goes to $200 more for the second day, $300 more for the third day, so 3 days equals $600 in fines. You know, there's this renewed supply chain disruption and the ongoing COVID gloom, but economic backdrop appears to be bright. That's according to the most recent quarterly report from Kobe. The challenge to the economy, though, being felt through empty store shelves and increasing threats of inflation. Consumers continue to spend, workers reentering the labor pool, even as dairy and animal protein processors attempt to minimize production slowdowns. Also, according to the report, farm input retailers scrambling to build inventory before spring field work begins. But fortunately, CoBank suggests most of the ag industry facing the disruptions from a position of price and margin strength. They say across rural America, 2022 begins with significant challenges, but also potential for substantial upside. Well, speaking of upside, according to the Rio Times, a Brazilian meat packer has just received approval to export fresh beef from plants in São Paulo State. The news comes less than 90 days after some lawmakers and industry representatives had called on U.S. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack to halt imports of Brazilian beef after the country was late in reporting two atypical cases of BSE, or bovine spongiform encephalopathy, late in 2021. Vilsack told reporters at the time that it would not be appropriate to halt imports because there were no scientific reasons or basis to do so. It would simply expose the U.S. beef industry to non-scientific decisions by other trading partners. Well, Minerva Foods already exports other products to the North American market, but now they have 7 units in Brazil authorized by USDA. It's Agriculture Today.
On the phone with Joe Guzman, Director of Sales for Equinom Smarter Sesame. Joe, 2022's here. You have lots of opportunities in sesame.
That's right, Stephen. We have grain handlers with 2022 agreements ready to be signed. Smarter Sesame makes a great rotational crop for producers who are planning for the new crop and season. With inputs on the rise, Smarter Sesame is a great choice for low input acres.
Joe, if somebody wants to find out more, how can they do that?
They can call 1-833-SESAME or visit equinom.com.
Your grandpa, his dad, and your dad all grew up working the land. You too want to follow in their footsteps. Capital Farm Credit wants to be your financial partner. Capital Farm Credit has been around for nearly a century. We share the deep passion of the agricultural industry. We honor you and those who came before you, those who want to keep the legacy alive. Let us finance your legacy. CapitalFarmCredit.com.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Strong U.S. corn usage so far in current marketing year through basically the end of August.
Dr. Dan O'Brien's a Kansas State grain marketing economist.
Really, we have been having pretty high ethanol plant profitability, pretty strong corn usage, but we're seeing a little bit of that profitability wane as corn prices are remaining high, but still pretty strong ethanol usage so far this year. Exports about 2.425 billion bushels. And again, what comes out of the Black Sea region, geopolitical conflict could have a big impact on U.S. corn exports, particularly given that Ukraine is one of the top four, basically either third or fourth highest world corn exporters. So if there are problems there logistically, they can't get corn out to either China or other countries of the world, that ends up and probably increases U.S. corn exports. And feed use has been holding up pretty well, too, at about 5.65 billion bushels, and that would be comparable to where we've been the last couple of years. Tighter stocks to use. The latest USDA projection for the old crop year is about 1.54 billion bushels, 10.4% stocks to use. Again, ending stocks at 1.54. And, you just ask yourself, what's the impact of a plus or minus 250 million change in that? Well, it really shows how we're on the knife's edge, the razor's edge, with regard to where the corn market could go. If we end up being short about 250,000 bushels for any set of production, or again, lower production, higher use levels, and you take ending stocks down to about 9% stocks use, again, below 10, and prices just remaining all that much stronger than they have been. And of course, a little more bearish response if we go the other way. I would also say, when you look at the U.S. corn price outlook for the coming year, one factor to not ignore is, of course, the acreage issue, but also the impact of how record high fertilizer prices may lead to a reduction in the amount of nitrogen fertilizer applied per acre, probably a foregone conclusion. And if that happens, what does that do to U.S. corn yields? It potentially takes us down to, say, 14.5, 14.5, 14.3 billion bushels of corn, and that would have a big impact on the bottom line. So, and I guess to finish up on that whole train of thought, we look at other market factors. We have moderate U.S. grain sorghum exports, kind of a blocky pace, a kind of a paced China demand. Inflation and crop production inputs certainly be a big issue, is a big issue so far. And again, that key question just restated, if we apply less fertilizer to crop acres, particularly corn this year, then will it impact final 2022 production? It seems destined to do that. Other broad market factors, potential for geopolitical problems in the Black Sea and Asia Pacific regions, as we've talked about. And we have elections coming up this fall, and the potential for U.S. government actions to address certain maladies in the U.S. economy. Do we see price controls? Do we see Fed policies that seek to hold back inflation with higher interest rates? All these things could come in and affect not just financial markets, but also our U.S. ag commodity markets that depend on them. So, Jeff, just lots and lots and lots of things up in the air right now. And out of those workshops that we had as we talked with people about marketing plans to make for this coming year, it seems to be good to not underestimate the type of strength that we see, particularly in corn markets, as we go on into 2022.
At the end of the day, he admits he's optimistic.
The optimism is that it's hard to foresee in the normal course of agricultural trends, a lot of things that would take prices lower. And really, a lot of our threats have to do with outside things. Again, geopolitical conflicts that could have one impact either up or down on the other. Basically, it would cause volatility.
It's Agriculture Today.
The Cattle Industry Convention and NCBA Trade Show is the oldest and largest event in the beef cattle industry, and we're headed to Houston, February 1st through the 3rd. Everything's bigger in Texas, so you can't afford to miss the massive NCBA Trade Show. Engaging speakers, outstanding education, all for the beef cattle industry. We've gone to Texas for CattleCon 2022, February 1st through the 3rd. Visit convention.ncba.org for more.
What can you get for 2 cents these days? How about new, more efficient wheat varieties? Better market access for Texas wheat producers and increased demand to your product. Each year, the Texas Wheat Producers Board achieves these goals by investing producer contributions to promote wheat through research, education, and market development. Who knew 2 cents could be so valuable? A message from the Texas Wheat Producers Board.
This is Agriculture Today.
Fertilizer certainly gets the highlighted story on the front page of news cycles, but, you know, it's not just fertilizer alone. It is all input costs that we're relatively seeing increasing from herbicide to pesticide.
Cody Besson is CEO of Plains Cotton Growers, headquartered in Lubbock, talking about how we've seen higher commodity prices, but also higher input prices.
Well, we're certainly a mind of this and trying to be very following and how we can strategically try to work with companies and groups, figuring out, you know, the overall reasoning behind some of the costs, whether that be directly tied to inflation or lack of product and availability, a complement of both. And then also making Congress more aware of just the exacerbating cost of rising inputs as compared to the cost of production or price received. You know, certainly the cotton industry specifically has had a good year as far as prices being available to them in the futures market and trying to capitalize and capture some of that. But certainly as production costs continue to rise, that margin will get thinner and thinner. So we're very mindful of that and continue to make Congress aware of that. So in the event that it really gets just more unwieldy than what it has become, that it's something that we're not trying to get them up to speed on, that they're made aware. The other thing that's not only just a rise of input costs that people are concerned about, but also product availability is another key aspect we're looking at for the 2022 crop year, and just making folks aware of where supply and demand is at, and what they mainly be expecting, and kind of have a heads up too as they start planning their 2022 season. This all kind of pivots into what people are looking at today, from starting to look at refinancing once we get into that February type month and on into March per se a little bit. But certainly folks are going to have to look at where cost of inputs are relative to availability as compared to what the potential price they could receive for their crop moving forward, in planning for refinancing and trying to get their operation going for this new season. So it is certainly going to be a relatively wild season, I guess, per se, if these issues continue to persist. We're very mindful of that and watching that moving forward and try to weigh in where we can respectively to try to lessen some of that burden relative when it comes to the cost of goods versus the relative cost of price received. And then, you know, not to exacerbate the challenges in this year and carrying over to next year, but certainly while we're looking at input costs as well as availability, but a lack of shortage of labor certainly has created another issue and challenge that we will see probably even moving forward into this new cropping season, where there's been a vast shortage of people working at the producer level all the way through the ginning segment, through the warehousing and trucking segment. And then the current issue that we continue to grapple with over currently today, the shortage of labor and workforce, even within USDA divisions, within the cotton classing office or NRCS office or FSA office. And that just creates its own internal challenges of getting products to market, getting it marketed correctly on time, taking advantage of pricing opportunities when they can, because without classes, without grades and cotton, you know, certainly that is a limiting factor for people to be able to market their open cotton that they currently have today. So lots of issues moving forward that we continue to be focused on to try to address very readily, but certainly very mindful of what they are.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com and texascrp.com, to view many properties we have currently listed in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Give us a call at 800-933-9698 to discuss these properties in detail. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Every drop counts. Introducing the Patriot 50 Series Sprayer from Case IH that puts every drop of product exactly where you want it. Enhanced LED lights, a cab designed for all-day comfort, and more precise spraying technology. Because just like you, we know every drop counts. Visit your local Wiley implement for details on the new Patriot 50 Series Sprayer.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
The trade may not be the top priority for this administration, but I think it's definitely going to be a vehicle for helping them accomplish some of their goals, especially when it comes to, you know, leading the debates and the advocacy for science-based trade.
Kent Back is the Senior Director of International Trade and Market Access with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
I think we'll probably see some action later this year. I know that we were optimistic in thinking that we'd see that last year, but I think that leading into the midterms, there's going to be more conversations about TPA. I think Republicans are definitely going to be more interested in engaging.
And you can have exports, which, by the way, are record-breaking, but at the end of the day, you've got to be working on new deals.
No, I mean, you're exactly right. You know, you always have to be looking to the future. I mean, we're going to ride the wave of this success for a while, but there are so many other markets where we don't have access. For us, the beef industry, I think we need to look at markets where we have a lot of similarities, or we have some other opportunities, and we have to be willing to engage in markets where people are going to tell us this is going to be tough. And so that's why we are looking at markets like the United Kingdom. You know, in Great Britain, with Brexit, they're no longer part of the European Union, so we see an opportunity there. You're talking about a culture that really appreciates beef, but you're also talking about, a very sophisticated consumer class that's looking for high quality products. And, unfortunately they've lived under this EU mindset for 40 years. So a lot of the production technologies that we use, the way that we have raised our beef has been highly criticized with their media and with some of their politicians. But, that's been the same for us in Korea, in Japan, and in other places. And yet we've been able to gain that trust. And it's by engaging directly. So we believe that, we need to prioritize a trade agreement with the United Kingdom. There's so many similarities culturally, but also just with our consumers, that we think that we'll be able to build that trust once we gain access. Because right now, we essentially have very, very limited access into Britain. And so we need to engage. We need to have those bilateral trade discussions. We need to show that a lot of the things that they prioritize, like animal health and welfare, sustainability, those are things that we prioritize. You look at the similarities in their red tractor, standards program, and our beef quality assurance program, they're almost identical. When you look at their sustainability goals and our sustainability goals, there's a lot of similarities. So I think we need to, we need to engage, and we need to help them embrace a more science-based approach. And at the end of the day, though, we're going to have to earn the trust of those consumers, but we have to get our foot in the door, and we have to do that with a bilateral agreement. And there's a precursor to a bilateral agreement is we also need trade promotion authority restored. Without trade promotion authority, that really limits what our negotiators can do. And so we need Congress to restore trade promotion authority, to work with the administration to get that up and running, because we need our negotiators out there, not just maintaining what we have, but we need to take new ground. And we need to get more access so that our producers can remain competitive.
It's Agriculture Today.
When it comes to farming cotton in West Texas, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers rely on Delta Pine brand cotton. Bred, tested, and made in West Texas for West Texas growing conditions. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
If you don't push yourself, how will you know what you're really made of? Cotton Research and Promotion Program works to develop innovative performance technologies that redefine cotton's capabilities and helps athletes push themselves further. Cotton Incorporated is working hard to educate consumers about cotton's versatility, especially in the athletic apparel market. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Packers and Stockyards Act rulemakings are in the open.
Mike Strands is Vice President of Advocacy at the National Farmers Union.
We've been hearing from the administration for a number of months now that they're preparing to issue some new rules on how they administer and enforce parts of the Packers and Stockyards Act. This will be welcome news, and we'll put some teeth into this bill and this legislation that has, you know, over the years not gotten the amount of enforcement that it truly needed. So we're excited to see some progress there, and there will be a lot to sound off on when the rules are proposed, and it'll be a good opportunity to offer support or critique depending on how they shake out in the rulemaking process. So looking forward to that. I don't know, however, that Packers and Stockyards Act reform and rules will be the end of it. There's already been efforts to establish more processing diversity. There's been some work towards more transparency in the marketplace, but we're also going to need antitrust enforcement. And some of that can come through actions by the Department of Justice and the Federal Trade Commission, but we may well need to see some legislation that will help antitrust across the economy be more enforceable and more of a protection for those in the economy who aren't multinational corporations that dominate their part of the industry. So hopefully we can see some progress on that front.
And he admits Farmers Union is learning.
What we've learned most as NFU has advocated through our Fairness for Farmers campaign, where we've helped uplift the voices of Farmers Union members and our neighbors across the country. Members have spoken up about the lack of competition in for a market for what they grow and produce or for what their inputs are. But also we hear about how rural communities are worse off because there are fewer retail options, there are fewer grocery options, there's fewer banking options. Those sorts of issues of consolidation, lack of competition, aren't limited to agriculture in rural communities. They hit many of our institutions and many of our commercial lives, I guess. So that's been a common refrain there. And I think as you look out across all of the policy arena right now, you're hearing from other parts of the economy, not just agriculture, but also tech. You're hearing from retail, you're hearing from grocers, you name it, where the smaller players in those industries want to have a chance to succeed. And without competition, that's really limited.
He's quick to point out that all of the marching orders come from their members.
Farmers Union is entering this phase of the year where our state conventions are wrapping up right now. We've gotten a lot of ideas that have sprung forth from those conventions on policy positions. We've got our national policy committee has been meeting, considering those changes and what updates they want to make to our national policy document, identifying some special orders of business. And from those, I expect we'll see some farm bill priorities start to crystallize. You know, I think many of the principles that we've held up over the years, whether it's making sure that there's competition in the marketplace, that we're not in a position where we're pitting farmer against farmer, but instead making sure that we're, got a managed supply in a lot of cases where we're not kind of in a race to lower prices. Those sorts of approaches I expect to see reflected in what our members consider and adopt, but the proof will be clear when we have the convention in just a couple weeks here in Denver.
It's Agriculture Today.
For years, Texas cotton growers have had a trusted partner when it comes to choosing their varieties. Next Gen brand cottonseed from Americut. Next Gen varieties bred specifically for West Texas growers have performed year after year, even in harsh conditions. And for this year's season, there are several new Bolguard 3 Extend Flex varieties available. Contact your local Next Gen representative or dealer today to learn more about varieties suited for your needs. Next Gen, your West Texas partner for performance cottonseed.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
This is Agriculture Today.
I think the message is that higher prices and even surging prices, which you could argue we have now, are the competitive workings of a market, and that these higher prices will help us.
That's Iowa State livestock economist Lee Schultz.
And they're going to help us in the short term as we see cold storage. That's at really historic lows, or at least short-term historic lows. I think if you look at November cold storage, that was as low as it's been back to November 2010 or 2011. But that's a desire to capture these higher prices, right? So that's the short term to have that meat available. Longer term, I think that's what's driving these higher prices in the cattle industry, right? And it's what's going to spur expansion eventually, conditions allowing. So you're balancing that with the biologics. It takes quite a while to build that cow herd. You're dealing with the environmental issues of drought and widespread dry weather and what impacts that's having. But those prices will be strong enough to spur that expansion and bring more beef to the market eventually. So understanding that, again, I think we need to appreciate these higher prices. I know that's very difficult to say, but that will bring kind of more equilibrium to the market here. The quicker we allow that to happen, the better.
And the upcoming cattle inventory report.
So for us data analysts and really market participants, this is a big report. It doesn't necessarily impact week-to-week trade, but it certainly gives us that benchmark as we look at cattle numbers and what they're likely to do in the next year, in the next couple of years. The big numbers we're going to be watching are the beef cow numbers and the beef cow replacement numbers, so the replacement heifer numbers. Expectations are that they're going to be below a year ago levels. I think the question is just how much. So I like to look at a beef cow culling rate, because we've seen cow slaughter up almost 10% year over year, but that's a little bit expected of higher beef cow slaughter numbers because we have more beef cows. When you look at the culling rate, we're at about 11.4%. That's the fourth highest since 1986. So we're certainly in the contractionary phase, but this isn't the highest we've seen. So I think that equates to probably roughly maybe 2 to 3% decline in the beef cow inventory. Beef cow replacements, I think that's going to be a lot more variability in what we could expect to see. We've certainly seen strong heifer slaughter numbers, but we've seen the more heifers on feed. But we've also seen, I think, incentives to start growing the cow herd, at least as far as when we look at profitability. So there actually could be some regions of the U.S. where we start to see maybe an uptick in those replacement heifer numbers. We're going to see a lower calf crop. Again, I'll remind us that is really the impetus to start seeing much stronger cattle prices as we go through the next couple of years. As those feeder cattle tighten, the fed cattle are going to tighten, we're going to continue to see the increases in cattle prices. That's already started to show up here into late 2021 and early 2022.
And he does agree that there will be variables in certain areas, but when you look at overall,
and I want to be clear, there could be certain regions that we don't see as much of a decline. Again, I think overall, yes, we're expecting to see much tighter numbers.
It's Agriculture Today.
Take the guesswork out of preparing your cotton for harvest with NanoPro. Utilizing NanoPro's revolutionary nanoliquid technology, your harvest aids go to work faster and more efficiently, increasing leaf drop, reducing regrowth, and helping your cotton be ready when you are. Offering a 3-to-1 return on investment, you can't go wrong with NanoPro. Learn more or find your nearest dealer by calling Tracy Carrillo at 575-639-5110 or visit aquayield.com.
Ring in the new year with savings at South Plains Implement. Looking for a new ride? Get great deals and financing options across a wide selection of John Deere lawn equipment during the Winter Green Sales event. Have time to tackle repairs on harvest equipment? In-stock peanut and cotton harvest equipment parts 15% off. Ready to plow into planting season? South Plains Implement offering 15% off complete sets of tillage parts. Some restrictions apply. Offers end January 31st at South Plains Implement, where farm meets family.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
USDA's January WASDE report shows that one big story in the outlook for the U.S. meat trade is lower pork exports.
We reduced our pork export forecast by 405 million pounds. So right now it's, you know, overall forecast at 7 billion pounds. And that reduction this month reflects primarily the fact that China has been buying less pork.
Mark Jackanowski chairs the World Ag Outlook Board.
And China's buying less pork not only from us, but also from other suppliers. So by China buying less pork, that both reduces our own exports directly to China, but it also means that other countries that were exporting to China are now looking for other markets to market that pork, and that is also competing with U.S. exports.
Overall, the U.S. meat trade forecast is down 459 million pounds, with most of that due to reduced pork exports. This is Stephanie Hope in Washington, D.C.